Hey, what's going on, everybody? We're back with another episode of Lee and Keys Real Talk. You know, this week, in the past couple of weeks, we haven't gotten into any of the fights. And usually we get into the fight talks. We haven't done those in a while. Some UFC main card we can get into tonight. We got UFC 219 this weekend. So, you know, we're going to be jumping into some predictions on this side. We got Lee's going to be coming through with his predictions. Lee, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on, man? Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. And New Year's is around the corner, so everybody have a safe New Year. Bring it in the right way. And, yeah, Keys, I'm here, bro. Let's go.
Yeah, we're going to be jumping into UFC 219 event is this Saturday night. That's going to be a good one. There's a lot of It's a pretty good card from top to bottom, I think. You got the women's featherweight division that we have talked a decent amount about in the past. My man Lee says that division is not going to be around too much longer. Maybe by this time next year, who knows? If at last, I mean, they don't got much talent there, but what they do have, they're gonna see that on display. Cyborg, you know, you got that Holly Holm. That's the main event. Cyborg fighting Holly Holm. You got Carlos Condit. Condit's returning. He's gonna be fighting. Carlos Condit's on there. I forget who he's fighting, to be honest, but. He's fighting Neil Magny. All right, so that makes sense. Who else they got? We were supposed to see Jimmy Rivera fight Dominic Cruz on this card. They announced that one a couple months back. At least feels like a couple months back now. I was hyped about that for a while, but Dominic Cruz pulled out. I think he had an injury. So they couldn't get that one. Then they tried to get John Lineker in there. And then he fell through within, like, the last week or so. I forget what he had going on that he couldn't get. I think he might have had a toothache. Yeah, he had a toothache. He couldn't make the fight. And then they tried to get Marlon in there. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, but he's been winning a couple fights. You know? Yeah. Marlon was in there. He just fought my man Aljamain Sterling. Yeah, he knocked out my man Aljamain Sterling. That's my boy. Aljamain going to come back strong. You know it. You know, in his next fight. I'm anticipating that. But he KO'd my man Aljamain Sterling. And I believe he fought John Dodson just before that. And he beat them guys, those two guys back to back. So he's on a little streak of his own right now. And it would have been cool to see him fight Jimmy Rivera, but I don't know as to whether it's going down at this point. I believe the terms that he wanted to fight under was just getting too crazy. I mean, he couldn't make the weight. I mean, I don't blame the guy taking three fights in, you know, 2 months or whatever span of time. That's a short amount of time. And I'm sure he walks around with a bit more weight on, so probably hard for him. I mean, especially the holiday season, you know, he got that dinner plate, Christmas dinner plate he just packed on, so it'd be hard to drop down the weight. And then he wanted to do a fight that I thought he gave him a couple pounds. Jimmy said give him a couple pounds, and he was like, okay, I'll let you, you can have be 2 pounds over. So they're supposed to make the fight at 135. But Jimmy said you can make the you can fight 2 pounds over. Lee, I think you know a bit more about that situation. What happened with that one?
All right, first Jimmy Rivera told Marlon that he could fight him at 138, and then it came back that Marlon couldn't make 138, and then Jimmy said, okay, we'll fight at 140. And then they came back and said, then they was like, I think Morris's camp was like, let's try for 145. Jimmy Rivera was off for 145. And then I think today I read that Jimmy Rivera was pulled out of UFC 219, so he's not going to fight. It's kind of sad because the guy, man, you know, he's supposed to fight Dominique Cruz. That didn't happen. And then he was rescheduled to fight Lineker. That didn't happen. And then you had, like, John Dodson, Moore Rice, and a few other fighters saying they will fight him on short notice. But none of that came to fruition. And we're going to talk about this after we do our predictions. But this is one of the things that, me personally, I feel that the UFC having so many fight cards that it hurts the game when you have somebody pull out because you can't find a replacement. You know, like normally back in the day, they could find somebody to fight on 2 weeks' notice, 1 week's notice. But now with so many events, the fighters are scarce. So we'll talk about that after we do our predictions and preview of UFC 219. But I know my man Keys. I know he's kind of amped about, four fights on this card. The main event, the co-main event, the Condit versus Magny fight, and then the Roundtree versus, I can't say this guy's last name, Oleg Sejusic, something like that. But those are the four fights I'm hyped about. What about you, Keys?
To be honest, I don't really follow the Carla Esparza. I forget who she was fighting. I know she's on there. I don't follow her. I don't even think I've watched her fight before. So I'm really indifferent to that fight.
She's the one that lost the belt to Joanna.
Yeah, that's really the only moment that I know her for. I don't think I've ever watched. I mean, I actually didn't even watch that fight. I remember just seeing the replays. I thought Joanna was just the first champion. I don't even remember who she beat. But, yeah, no, I don't know much about the Esparza. But I'm most excited about the Cyborg and Holly Holm. And I'm excited about seeing Carlos Condit come back. That just adds more. I'm probably most excited about Carlos Condit coming back, to be honest. That one adds the most to my favorite division. You know I love welterweight, and that just adds another factor at the welterweight. Like, that just makes it so much more exciting. I mean, that just gives me the flashback to him and Robbie's fight, you know, him and Robbie fighting, you know, a couple years back. And now he's going to return, so it's... That's exciting to me. I'd say I'm most excited to see that. And then the main event, of course. In that one, I'm going to wait. I almost wanted to jump into my prediction for it, but I'm going to wait. I'm still trying to evaluate that one. So I still haven't decided. I might come up to the, you know, the last 5 minutes before the fight. I might make my real call, but I'm going to break it down and come up with something tonight, too. Just probably those two fights I'm most excited for. I was excited to see Jimmy and Cruz, but... You know, that didn't happen. Then Jimmy and Lineker. I mean, I wasn't as excited to see Lineker. I'm excited to see Jimmy Rivera. But then I was excited to see him and Marlon fight. That one was the one. I was really hyped for that. But then when that fell through, you know, now we won't see it at all. And I feel bad for the dude. You know, he missed the holidays and he's all the way out there. He's, kept a professional. He's ready to fight. And then, you know, and it just the situation didn't work out for him. So. That sucks, but yeah, those are pretty much it. That was three fights, and we lost one, so those are two fights. What's the other? Oh yeah, Roundtree ended up. Roundtree was supposed to fight my man Gokhan Sagi on this card, you know.
Yeah, but Gokhan got hurt.
That one, but then you know Gokhan Sagi fell out of that fight too. So now Roundtree is fighting your man. What'd you say his name was? Roundtree's fighting.
Man, hey, don't even get me lying. I know his first name is Michael, and his nickname is Lord. So he's fighting out of Poland. His record is 12-2. Yeah, he's 12-2. He's fighting Khalil Roundtree, who was 7-2. So, actually, the guy that Roundtree is fighting has a little bit more experience on Roundtree. So, It should make for a good fight, man. I wanna roll with Roundtree in this fight because I think of his power. I don't know whether or not this guy can really sustain the strikes that Roundtree gonna hit him with. And Roundtree got a little bit of wrestling to him too. So I'm gonna go with my gut feeling on this, and I'm gonna take Roundtree. I think he wins, but I think it's gonna be a tough fight for him. But I'm gonna take Roundtree in this one, man. What about you? What you thinking?
You know, my thing lately is I've been trying not to. Fights that I'm not as educated on, I'm not trying to just make blind predictions to, because I've never watched either of these. So I'm not gonna just throw something out there anymore like I usually would. Oh, you know what? You know what I forgot about? We didn't even mention this fight. I forgot Khabib is on this card. How we forget that?
Oh, we were gonna get there.
Huh?
Oh, we was going to get there. Don't worry about it. I won't go let you forget.
I had to look up the card just now. I was like, man, I feel like I got to be forgetting something here. This is crazy. And there it is, man. I completely forgot Khabib. You know why we forgot it? I think we forgot it because
we, thinking that
we had such a little
faith.
Probably
going to happen.
And that he, yeah. We had such little faith that this man was going to make weight. Man, see, you know that's what happened.
Yeah.
He might lose to Barboza. Mental warfare.
Yeah, man. Because Khabib is so, he's so unreliable, man. It's like, he builds you up for a fight, and then the weekend of the fight, he pulls out, or something happens where he can't fight. So I'm at the point now with him is I have to see it to believe it. So even though he might weigh in on Friday, who knows? He probably still might not make it to the ring on Saturday. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, let's go ahead and transition into that fight. So we got Khabib Nurmagomedov, I think that's how you say it, versus Edson Barboza. Khabib, of course, is undefeated. And Edson Barboza is 19-4. Khabib is ranked number 2, and Edson Barboza is ranked number 4. Keys, I'm going to go ahead and give you the floor on this, man. What you think about this fight? Because I know we both was like, we really didn't want to see this fight. We wanted to see another fight. But I'm kind of good with this fight, being that Khabib has been out in the game for a while. And me personally, I don't want to see a guy that's been out in the game for a while automatically fight for the belt. So I like this fight. So who you got and why?
You know, so I was looking through, and I had to do a little homework to, you know, to get more on the Barboza. I mean, I knew Barboza's a warrior. That's the thing. But at the same time, I believe he's coming off an injury. You know, he's got a little streak. He's beat a couple notable guys in his last couple of fights. I mean, he beat Pettis at a time when Pettis was at a better point in his career. That was almost, you know, going on 2 years ago in the new year. I mean, he beat Anthony Pettis. He beat Gilbert Melendez. So that was at over a year and a half ago. So now. He lost to Ferguson. I'm looking at some of his. But see, you know, I'm going on the angle of the MMA math thing, where it's like, oh, this guy lost to this guy, but Khabib beat this guy. So I don't know. I mean, he lost to Michael Johnson, and Khabib beat Michael Johnson. That was a pretty one sided fight, as I remember. That was actually the last time we saw Khabib. I'm gonna take Khabib in this fight because. You know, but at the same time, Barboza might have he does have the ability to shock us. You know, he has those crazy he has those crazy leg kicks, you know. And I know he has the crazy what does he do? He does all the head kicks and stuff like that. And his,
yeah,
his kicks are crazy. I was
He got like three knockouts by kicks, you know, a kick to the head, a kick to the body, and a low kick. He got a knockout with a low kick, man. So, you know, that's got to be crazy. He probably blew somebody's knee out. So, but, yeah, man, he got three knockouts by head by kicks, man. That's kind of crazy. And not all of them being head kicks. So, you say you got Khabib on this one, bro?
Yeah, I'm going to take Khabib because – and I hope Khabib – like, I'm going to take Khabib, and I would hope that he would win this fight because at this point, like, by the time we see this fight, which is, you know, this coming weekend, you know, 4 days, but that's still – it's been, I want to a whole year, I think, a little over a year since we've seen Khabib fight. And I would hope that, you know, through all his struggles – that he's gotten, you know, he's increased his, and he's gotten more sharp. You know, I would think that he, you know, behind the scenes, through all the speculation and the drama with him, you know, not making weight and losing mental warfare to Ferguson and this and that, I think, you know, he'll come out and he'll have an impressive night and it'll turn out to be, you know, it'll be a good fight, but he'll have a good night. And he'll have an impressive performance, and it'll be one of those things that it always is, and then he'll come out, and then he'll try and set up the Ferguson fight again. But before I get too ahead of myself, I'm going to take Khabib. I feel I'm confident in that this time. I could be wrong, but I'm going to take Khabib. What do you think about it, Lee?
Well, you know, with predictions, you got a 50-50 chance, so you're right or you're wrong, unless it's a draw. So, me, personally, I want Barboza to win. But I'm rolling with Khabib only because he cannot – if he wins this fight against Barboza, there's no way he can run from Ferguson now. I think Dana White will make – I think Ferguson will be in the crowd. And whoever wins this fight, they get a fight with Ferguson. And I want it to be Khabib. Because I want to see, is he really scared of Ferguson or not? Because there's no way he has been scheduled to fight this man twice. And both times he done pulled out because of health issues. I'm on the same page as you when it comes to this. I think he has lost the mental warfare with Ferguson. And I think it's something about Ferguson that he's scared of. So if he wins, I'm hoping that Ferguson is in the crowd and he cops in the cage after the fight and he calls him out right then and there on the spot. So I like Barboza a lot. I think Barboza is going to bring a lot to the table as far as all the different ways he can beat you as far as submissions, kicks, strikes, jiu-jitsu, things like that. But Khabib, what he does is he's going to take you down. Over and over and over and over again. He'll eat a punch to take you down. He's just going to smother you, man. I know for me personally, I don't like when there's a lot of man humping going on in UFC fights. But when you're watching a Khabib fight, you got to be prepared to know that he's going to take his opponent down at least 10 to 15 times a fight. So, as for Barboza, I don't know what his takedown defense is, but he's going to have to really. Well, on this, it says takedown defended for Barboza is 87%. So, he's actually pretty good at takedown defense. So, we'll see, man. But I'm rolling with you with this one. We're both going with Khabib, but I'm going with Khabib for selfish reasons. Because I want to see whether or not he's actually going to step into the fire pan with my man Ferguson. Or is he going to, or is Dana going to schedule a fight and he fall out? Or we'll see what happens. But yes, I'm going with Khabib on this one. So let's roll into another fight in your favorite division, man, the welterweight division. Carlos Condit versus Neil Magny. As we all know, Conte has been away from the game for a while. And I think Neil Magny, his last fight was against RDA, which he lost in the first round by knock, I think by submission. We got Carlos Condit versus Neil Magny. What you got for me, Keys? Drop some knowledge on me. Give me a gem.
All right, so I'm, you know, the, you know, Neil Magny's been having a rough time. His past couple fights, I think he lost his last two, if I'm not mistaken. What's it called? Also, Condit lost his last two fights as well. I mean, he had the Robbie Lawler fight, and he lost that one by decision. That one was I think that was a pretty good fight. I don't remember. I don't think I watched it, but I heard it. That was a good fight. And then he lost to Damian Maia after that. That was the last one. That was the last time we saw. Last time we saw Carlos Condit. Neil Magny, he had the RDA fight. And actually, nah, he lost to he took an L and then he won one and then he lost one after that. He's an inconsistent fighter. That's one of the things about this that is mysterious to me, is that, you know, Neil Magny's is a skilled welterweight. You know, he's debatably still a top welterweight. But at the same time, it's like this is a similar way that I'm looking at the Khabib and Barboza fight. It's similar because I'm looking at it like, okay, you know, Condit's had even a longer amount of time on the bench. And in MMA, that can, you know, mean many things, you know, depending on who you are. Look at GSP. Like, he just had he was gone for a stretch, you know, 4 years, I thought. And he came back and he looked great versus a champion. So when you have time off, you know, from the cage, it can be deceiving. You can either really look at it like, okay, they've been out the game. They're fighting a guy who's been consistent lately. How is he going to fare in this fight? And it could go either really bad or really good. And, you know, in Khabib's case, he fought last year, but it's still been a pretty long layoff. I mean, after a win, it's not like he had suffered a knockout loss. And then, you know, Carlos Condit, he lost to Damian Maia by submission. And, you know, that doesn't – he didn't really have the need to take off a lot, you know, a whole lot of time. I mean, he lost to Robbie, but that was a title fight. And then he lost to Damian Maia. I mean, but it's, you know, besides my boy T Wood making Damian Maia look like a piece of garbage in there, and now everybody thinks he's, you know, it's easy to beat, especially because, you know, Kobe just beat him after that. Now they especially think he's easy to beat. But that's the thing, though, is that, like, certain guys, it's a smokescreen and made to look like they're not as good when they get beat by, you know, in certain fashion. I don't know. I think Condit, he has the potential to come back and put on a good show. My gut says he'll win this fight. You know, I think taking Neil Magny in the return was, you know, it was a good idea. That's a good fight for him to, you know, come back and get his confidence back, you know. And I watched an interview with him the other day, and he sounded motivated. He sounded focused. He sounded like he has a positive, you know, thought train going into it, and that's what I like. I'm gonna take Condit in this one. My gut tells me he'll have a good performance, and that'll even open up the welterweight picture even more. And it's gonna result in a lot, you know, a couple good matches, okay, you know, handful of good fights. We will be thrown out there after this one, because, you know, people are going to probably be saying, I'm expecting, you know, Carlos Condit come back, who is he supposed to fight now? And it's going to cause all that type of speculation. So who you at in this one, though?
Man, this fight is kind of tough to pick, man, because when you look at it, Neil Magny has been alternating wins and losses, whereas Carlos Condit has lost 3 out of his last 4 fights. So basically, they both been kind of up and down, or actually, you could say Magny been up and down, and Carlos has been kind of on a downward spiral. Carlos has fought some of the top dudes in this game, man. He done fought, man, some big names, man. He done fought St. Pierre. He done fought Nate Diaz. He done fought Robbie Lawler. I want to say he fought Cowboy Cerrone. So Condit has a lot of experience. He done fought your boy T. Wood. And that loss that they gave, the loss to Damian Maia, you know how I feel about Maia, man. Once Maia is a dude that I really don't have no respect for because he's not a well-rounded fighter. A lot of people got a lot of respect for him, but I'm one of the people that don't. But in this fight, I'm going with the upset. I'm going with Neil Magny. The reason I'm going with Neil Magny is because when he is supposed to lose, he normally puts on the performance of his life. And I think a lot of people are picking him to lose this fight. And this is normally when the cream rises to the top of him. So I'm going to take the upset, and I'm going with Neil Magny to beat Carlos Condit, probably in a split decision. And I'm going with Neil Magny, man. I think Neil brings a lot of true MMA skills to the ring as far as being able to grapple, wrestle, takedown, defend the takedown. He has long arms. He has a 5-inch reach advantage on Carlos Condit. So I'm going to go with Neil Magny in the upset, man. I feel really good about this pick. Normally, when you got two guys of this skill level, of this magnitude, normally I may be kind of like drawing straws or going back and forth. But I feel good about this fight, man. I'm going with Neil Magny. And I think if Neil Magny wins, nothing really changes in the welterweight division. Because you're still going to have, I think you're going to have Mike Perry fighting Darren Till. You're going to have Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. They probably going to get him Colby Covington. And then you got T. Wood versus RDA. Even though I would rather see Thompson versus Till and Perry versus Covington. But everybody needs to watch out for my boy Usman. My boy Usman is coming for the welterweight division. He's like a shark. He's just swimming out there in the deep waters, just laying low. And then when everybody least suspects it, he's going to spring to the top. So everybody watch out for Usman. That's my man. But I'm going with Magny in this fight. So this is one that me and you probably have been waiting on for a while because I'm not a believer in the champ. And, you know, she got a great fan base and a lot of followers and stuff like that. So we got Cyborg versus Holly Holm. And this fight has been building up since Cyborg was signed to UFC. Because everybody knows that there was no way she was going to make 135 to fight Ronda Rousey. There's just no way she was going to make that weight. But everybody know Holly Holm can move up and down in weight, and it doesn't affect her performance. The main event, who you got, Keys, and why?
Okay, so this one, I'm going to say I'm easily the most prepared for it to respond to. I've been thinking about this one, you know, early on last week and since then. And I'm trying to weigh out the factors, you know, that'll play into this fight. And the things that I'm thinking is, okay, so one thing that I'm unsure of about Cyborg, and you might be able to get me the answer to, is I don't know that she's ever had a 5-round fight and went the distance. She ever went the distance with, because I know she's a knockout artist and she finishes all her opponents usually before the third round. So has she ever gone 5 rounds with somebody who is as evasive, as advanced of a striker, as advanced of a kickboxer, just all around somebody with the skill set, also with the cardio that Holly Holm possesses. Has she ever gone five rounds with her?
Okay, to answer your question, I'm looking at her record. She has been three rounds one time, and she won that by unanimous decision. Other than that, she has won by knockout second round, knockout third round, knockout first round, knockout third round, knockout second round, knockout round one, knockout round two, knockout round three. So she has never been in the deep waters. She has never been in the championship rounds, four and five. So, no, she hasn't.
Okay. So, with that being said, you know, versus Holly Holm, I mean, I give her one thing, okay? Cyborg has not lost in such a long time, and she's beaten, you know, she's got a pretty nice resume. I mean, I won't lie, I don't know, you know, a couple of the girls that she's fought, never heard of, but, you know, she's beaten fighters all over. I mean, she was in Invicta Fighting Championships for a while. Now she's had a couple fights in the UFC. She only has three fights in the UFC. She fought in Strikeforce for a while. She's fought in a lot of different, you know, organizations, and she's and that just shows that she's a seasoned fighter. I mean, she's hasn't lost a fight since 2005. You know, she's on a 12-year win streak. I mean, it's kind of crazy when you think about it, going on 13. If she doesn't lose here. The last time she lost was way, way back, 2000. She lost by submission. So, I mean, she's never, it's not like she's ever been finished. And she's never lost by decision. But at the same time, this is a factor that I'm thinking about. The two factors is one, like I said, has she ever fought somebody with the skill sets that Holly Holm has? And two is how, and this might be the biggest factor, how is she going to fare when she can't finish Holly Holm, if she can even get to her in the fight? She might. This might be a fight where Holly Holm exhausts Cyborg to the point where she is a lot weaker, a lot lesser than what we have seen her, you know, since she's been in the UFC. And people might be a bit surprised by that. I don't know how she's preparing for this fight. I know she's been training with, you know, with a champion, a former world champion boxer in a women's division and this and that. But that's she doesn't need to improve her boxing. That's we know she has, you know, good boxing. That's not what we're worried about. My concern is her cardio. How is she going to last? If Holly Holm, you know, being as evasive as she is and she kind of bounces around the ring, you've seen the way that she fought DeRonda May. I mean, that was a pretty long, drawn-out fight. I mean, it wasn't the most exciting fight either. But just look at the way that, you know, she lost the fight in the end, but look at the way that, you know, she'll stand and trade with you for five rounds. And, you know, she really doesn't look like, she doesn't appear to be that tired, you know, in by the end of it. So, Cyborg, you know, we've never seen her go past the third round, like I had speculated before. So, I just don't know. I think if Holly can bring her into the championship rounds, she will win this fight. The only thing that the only way I see her losing, because I don't think that Cyborg can beat her by I don't think Cyborg wins this fight by decision. I don't think that's, I just don't think that's possible. If it does, I'll be shocked. I think it, you know, Holly's only shot to lose, you know, the biggest, you know, thing is she has to lose in the first three rounds, but if she can survive there, I think she's good for this belt. So I'm taking Holly Holm in this fight. That's I'm pretty confident in that too. So I mean and you know what? I was talking to somebody before I go. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were just comparing this to the when she fought Rousey. I didn't even really know who she was. I had heard of her, but I didn't know, you know, the skills that she had, and I just wasn't familiar with her as a fighter. So then when I seen her, you know, land the head kick on Rousey, and, you know, see how she was stunned and she finished her. I mean, nobody expected that to happen in a million years. So now you have another, you know, Chris Cyborg, legendary, you know, in the women's division, And, you know, maybe she makes it happen again here. So, you know, I'm confident in Holly Holm. Lee, I'm going to throw it over to you. Let's hear your analysis on this fight.
Man, you know, looking at Cyborg's record, I mean, she's a knockout artist. So, basically, Holly can't afford to take any punishment in this fight. Because I think if Cyborg start putting them hands on her, that she's going to get Holly up out of there quick. So I want to see what Holly's camp, what's their game plan. If I was Holly's camp, I would attack her legs with leg kicks. I would go after Cyborg's legs with leg kicks, probably go after a couple takedowns, you know, try to wear her out, make her carry Holly's weight for a couple rounds, and see where her cardio at, like you said, because I think if Holly can get her in round four and round five, I see Cyborg gassing out, and I see Holly Holm knocking her out or choking out one or the other. I'm with you on this fight, only because I'm not a true believer in this weight class, because there's not enough talent in this weight class. So, and then the other girl, Jermaine Geronimi, the one that, quote-unquote, beat Holly Holm for the belt. I saw the fight. I thought Holly Holm won the fight. I don't see how the judges awarded to Jermaine, but they did. So I'm rolling with Holly in this fight. I think her camp is going to have her doing some leg kicks, doing some kicks to the body, have her attempt a couple of head kicks. But I think she's going to take Cyborg down. I have never seen Cyborg fight off her back. Every time you watch one of her fights, it's always a stand and bang fight. And I think Wink Jackson, they need to come up with a game plan. And the game plan is you got to try to gas Cyborg. You can't have her dictate the pace of the fight on her feet. Make the fight go to the ground. See what she has on the ground. See whether or not if Holly takes her down, can she get back up? See if you take the power out of her by weakening her legs. Because as me and you have seen on several fights, if you attack a fighter's legs enough, they have to change their stance up. And then once they change their stance up, they can't generate as much power in those strikes as they normally do. So I'm going with Holly Holm. I think Holly takes her to the deep waters. I think she gasses Cyborg out. And I think Holly wins probably the second round, the fourth round, and the fifth round. She wins unanimous decision. And Bruce Buffer would say, and new. So I'm rolling with Holly Holm, man. I think it's going to be a good fight as long as Holly doesn't take too much punishment in the first three rounds. She can't take too much punishment. If she takes too much punishment, it might fall into the hands of the referee, and the referee might come in and stop the fight if they feel that she's taking too much punishment. So I need Wink Jackson to come up with a good game plan. And if y'all listening, go after the legs, try a couple takedowns, make Cyborg carry Holly's weight, and then let's see what happens round four and five. Because when you look at Cyborg's record, she only been in three-round fights. She has never been past the third round. So I'm rolling with Holly Holm. So just to recap, we got my man Keys taking Holly Holm. I'm taking Holly Holm. Keys taking Khabib. I'm taking Khabib. I'm taking Roundtree. My man Keys didn't want to make a prediction on that one, but I'm taking Roundtree in that one. And then for the Condit Magny fight, he's taking Condit, and I'm taking Magny. So those are our predictions for UFC 219 Saturday. And follow us on Twitter, because we'll definitely be commenting throughout the. I'll be commenting throughout the night on Twitter. For doing these fights, hit me up and let me know what you think. So another thing that came out this week that me and my man Keys We have definitely been kind of, I want to say, not angry, but it kind of sort of drives me and him crazy. Fighters not making weight. And the thing about fighters not making weight, the UFC doesn't have a penalty. I mean, if the other fighter accepts the fight, then a fighter that didn't make weight has to forfeit part of their purse. All right, we get that. But what about the habitual fighters that don't make weight? What should their punishment be? And this is one of the things that me and Keys, everybody know we're not part of the UFC organization. We are fans. We love the sport. So we're going to give our opinions on what should happen to fighters that routinely don't make weight. I'm going to pass it on to my man Keys to see what his head out on this. And then I'm going to come back with my opinion. And then we're going to kick it around the bucket a little bit. So, Keys, where you at on fighters that can't make weight? Habitual fighters that can't make weight.
You know, so one fighter that never, you know, seems to be able to make weight, especially, I mean, he's been having a lot of trouble with this lately in his last handful of fights, Johnny Hendricks. You know, my man Johnny Hendricks has a lot of problems. And if I could look to see, you know, the way I can look at a fighter's fight record, the way I can look at a fighter's record of making weight or not making weight, this man might be undefeated, you know, and not making weight. And the thing that's crazy is I like the idea of what you were saying about, you know, possibly taking a piece of the purse from the fighter. You know, they got to forfeit half the purse or whatever, or, you know, one fourth of the purse or whatever, you know, something to give them the incentive. I mean, it's like you got to
normally
things that you
normally they have to forfeit 20% of their purse if they don't make weight if the other fighter decides to accept the fight. So normally it's 20% of the purse.
All right, so I just threw out before I felt that 25%. That was completely random. So, I mean, I guess that was on point. So, I mean, but, you know, at the same time, it's like when you have a, you know, two-time, three-time offender like my man Johnny Hendricks, you know, he misses weight a lot. And, you know, when it becomes a consistent thing, I believe that, you know, that maybe they think of another. I mean, maybe you have to, you know, forfeit a spot on the main card, you know, because, you know, my man Johnny Hendricks, he made it on the main card, and he's missed weight, you know, many times, you know, in his previous couple fights. I mean, he made weight for that fight, I believe, you know, but he made it on the main card because I forget which card it was, but they fell out, and, you know, that his fight with Borokina, who's Paulo Costa now, I think. He changed his name or something. But he fought him, and that ended up being the fifth spot on the main card. And, you know, I think things like that, they should think of another way, another angle to take on it to give fighters the incentive to make weight, man. And that's what I think. And if you're, you know, like you said, a habitual, you know, person who doesn't make weight, they should increase the amount that is taken from your purse. And that should go up, you know, whether it be, I mean, I don't want to say each time because then it makes it sound like it's, I don't know. I mean, that to be exact, is, you know, they should be some kind of system, some kind of new thing they can implement to, you know, say, you know, fighters got to stop. You guys got to, you know, you got to diet. You got to be, you know, have your whole system, everything ready. Everything's accordingly. Be professional. For example, my man Jimmy Rivera was ready to fight. And, you know, in this situation, neither of his opponents, you know, were having trouble making weight. But the thing was is that, like, this, you know, there's fighters that fall out with, you know, real injuries instead of falling out of the fight because you didn't make weight. Because then if you miss weight and then your opponent, you know, turns, doesn't accept the fight after that, then the UFC just lost that whole fight because you didn't make weight, because you were not keeping it professional like our man Jimmy Rivera did. And he was ready for the fight, you know, and he missed the holidays, missed out time with his family. He was out there in Vegas, and, you know, he had three opponents, you know, almost in and then dropped off for, you know, God knows what reason. And in a way, that's why I'm glad that Marlon didn't, you know, he was upfront about the fact that he, you know, couldn't get down to that weight, and he was trying to propose to fight a bigger weight, only because I'd rather him do that and then either the fight not happen or they do a catch weight, rather than see him try and make the weight knowing he won't be able to and then missing weight on fight day. And then maybe Jimmy denies the fight and then it doesn't happen anyways. God, whatever, you know, may happen. So, I mean, I think there should be more incentive to fighters to, you know, who constantly don't make weight, to make them, you know, keep it more professional and take it, you know, very seriously. That's how I feel about that.
All right. And my thing is, I know me and you have talked about this for our viewers, our listeners, that this might be your first time listening to our show. You can't check out past episodes of our show. Me and Keys have talked about the health of the fighters. And my personal thing is, I always feel like fighters should fight close to their walk-around weight, because that way you're not trying to put your body in so much trauma trying to lose 30 to 40 pounds just to fight in a certain weight class. I'm a staunch believer that fighters should fight close to their walk-around weight. If you look at it, they don't have to cut as much weight. You know, they come in more fresh for the fight. They don't have to rehydrate as much as somebody that has to lose between 25 to 30 pounds. And the penalty right now is 20%. I think the first time a fight should be 20%, second time should be 30, and then the third time you should be mandated to fight at a different weight class. The UFC should just come out and say, hey, you are a habitual offender as far as not being able to make weight, and the UFC should make you fight at a certain weight. That's what they did to Jimi Hendrix, because Jimmy couldn't make weight. They did it to Hannibal Brown, because Hannibal Brown couldn't make weight. The dude that just knocked out Ricardo Lamas, Emmett, he didn't make weight. A lot of people talked about, you know, he knocked the man out or whatever, whatever. Yeah, he knocked the man out, but he didn't get a performance of the night, fight of the night, nothing like that, because he couldn't make weight. So another person that couldn't make weight a lot was Thiago Alves. The UFC ended up making him go up in weight. So I think the first time you should be 20% of your purse, the second time should be 30% of your purse, and the third time, the first time is 20, second time is 30, the third time the UFC should mandate you to fight at a high weight division. And that'll get rid of all these guys not being able to wait. My personal belief is fighters should want to fight at the weight that they walk around at. It creates a healthier fighter. It makes the fighter fresher for the fights. So they actually end up giving their best effort in the fight. And I know me and Keith brought this up earlier because on the UFC 219 card, talking about our man Jimmy Rivera. Jimmy Rivera is being left off the card Saturday night because they couldn't find a replacement for him, being that John Lineker pulled out, and Dominique Cruz, who he's originally supposed to fight, was injured. And then Marlon Moraes, who would have been fighting for the third time in less than 60 days. I mean, it was a good fight, but I stated this, that I didn't think it was a good idea for a UFC fighter to have three fights in 60 days. I looked at that as a health risk. So I'm kind of glad that fight didn't happen, even though I think it's going to happen down the road. But at this time, I just don't think it would have been smart to put Marlon in there. Me and Keys, we're very excited about seeing Rivera move up the ladder, because the guy has definitely shown and proved that he's one of the top fighters in the, I want to say it's the bantamweight division. Yeah, that's the 135 bantamweight. Yeah. And he's 21-1 right now. I'm looking up his last four fights to see who he's fought. Because I like to look at who guys have fought. He's fought,
he fought Uriah Faber.
Yeah, he fought Almeida. Yeah, he fought Uriah Faber. He fought Thomas Almeida, Yuri Alcantara, and Pedro Munhoz. So he has fought some top guys. So when me and Keith did our dream match, I think I had him fighting Cody to see who will fight TJ next. So and I'm still standing on that. Dominique Cruz to me is a phony because he didn't want to rematch Cody, but as soon as Cody lost to TJ, he was all for fighting TJ, and then he comes up with an injury not to fight Jimmy. So I'd rather see Jimmy fight Cody to see who would be the next number one contender because me and Keys want to see DJ versus TJ at 130, which I think would be a hell of a fight. So what you got? What you got on deck for Jimmy? What you think should happen for Jimmy, man?
You know, I'm gonna have to look up his rankings right now and give you something because, I mean, it'd be cool to see him fight for the belt. You know, I'd like to see Dillashaw and Jimmy break it down, but at this time, I feel like that would just kind of be throwing him into the spot, and I don't know if he's really solidified himself to be there at right now. That could be.
Well, he's won 5 fights in a row.
Yeah. No, because what I said could be argued either way. Because really looking at it, I mean, the last couple of fighters to get a shot, like look at Cody Garbrandt. Who had he fought when he got the shot at Dominick Cruz? I mean, really, if we're talking about guys, I mean, we've said this a lot in like our past couple of shows and just since the beginning about guys talking their way into title fights. And I had said in one of the last shows that what's his name got the blueprint from Ferguson. Who was it? No, he got the blueprint from Kevin Lee. Who am I thinking of? Kobe. Kobe Covington is trying to take the blueprint from Kevin Lee on how he got that interim title fight, the one where he almost finished Ferguson in the first round, by the way. And them two guys got the blueprint from Cody Garbrandt, because if you really look at it, who had Garbrandt fought? Who had he had on his resume? I know he fought Thomas Almeida. I know that 100%. So he had fought him. But then the fight that he had before he got Cruz, he fought Mitsugaki. And he knocked out Mitsugaki in, I think, the first round. But really, it's like, how did that fight solidify him to go get Cruz next? Like, if you really think about it, he wasn't really exactly qualified. I mean, I think he was like the number 8 or 9 guy, too, when he even got the title fight. And then once he beat Cruz,
I got
an
answer for you.
Champion. Yeah, so, yeah. And I mean, then you look at Dillashaw. I mean, no, Dillashaw has fought some guys, though. I mean, he beat Henan Barão back when Barão was, one of the best fighters pound for pound in the UFC at that time. I mean, he was dominating back then, and Dillashaw got him out of there. So, I mean, really, he has a much better resume to be, getting in the title picture than Cody Garbrandt. And I don't know, Jimmy, I got to look, but let me know, what were you just going to say while I look into the rankings?
The reason that Cody got that title shot is because people can believe it or they don't have to believe it. My thing is, if Dana White likes you, man, he's going to push you. He's going to get you to the top as soon as possible. And if you look at Cody Garbrandt's road to the belt, he really didn't fight nobody but Thomas Almeida. Whereas, Dillashaw, plus the 135 division, let's be honest, it really isn't that deep. I think what they should do is combine the 135 and 125 division, make it a 130 division, and you will get more – you'll have more competitive fights. Because let's say, as a fan, you get Cody Garbrandt versus DJ. You get T.J. Dillashaw versus John Dodson. You get Hannibal Burrell versus Sergio Pettis. You get Dominique Cruz versus Cejudo. I mean, you get a whole different style of fights. And what's the 5-pound difference? It shouldn't even matter. So if it was up to me, I would combine the 125 and 135 division, make it a 130 division or a 133, leaning towards 130, to be honest. Yeah, man, if you talk a good game and Dana White likes you, you will get pushed to the top. Just look at Kevin Lee. Look at your boy, Conor McGregor. Look at all these guys that just talked a good game. I mean, your boy DC. DC fought one fight at light heavyweight, and they had him in a championship fight against John Jones. For real? And I think that light heavyweight fight was against Patrick Cummings. It wasn't even against a guy that was in the top five or top ten. It was a guy they found on the street that used to be his wrestling teammate back in college. So, but go ahead, man. Get back on Jimmy Rivera.
Yeah, now looking at the rankings, I say they put Jimmy fights, I don't know if it's Rafael Asanko. Sancho? Sanko?
Asanko. Yeah.
Have him fight Sanko. Jimmy and Sanko, they never fought. So let them run that. I like that fight right there. And if you really actually look at who Rafael is beating, it's kind of crazy. He's in his last three. I didn't know this. I mean, I should have been paying attention clearly. But in his last three, he's beaten Aljamain Sterling. He's beaten Marlon Morris. He beat him. After that, and then he beat Matthew Lopez after that, and he knocked him out. I mean, that's a pretty good streak right there, especially right now. I mean, Marlon's is looked at as one of the top guys out there. I mean, he's ranked a little lower than both of them, but he's on the come up. He's looked at as one of the top guys out there, at least at this time. I say make that fight because Cruz doesn't seem to be around at this time, whatever. Maybe he's just on his announcing game and, the injury, whatever's going on. Don't even make him wait for that fight. I know Rafael fought recently, so maybe they'd have to wait for that fight. Maybe they could get Jimmy in there, like, UFC 221, or maybe they could lock it in for UFC. Maybe they could lock it in for the Australia card, the Robert Whittaker and Rockhold card. I could lock in Jimmy versus Rafael Asanko. I think that'd be a good matchup right there. Because while Cruz is on the shelf doing whatever he's doing, I don't know what time he's going to come back. I mean, but if not, though, I wouldn't mind seeing Garbrandt and Jimmy. I wouldn't mind that one, too. That'd be pretty cool. So I say either Rafael and Jimmy fight or Jimmy fights Garbrandt. I like one of those two fights. I don't really see... I mean, if you're really going to try to respect the rankings, I don't see what other fights there are for him. I mean, seeing that Cruz kind of lost the mental warfare, but he already lost to Jimmy. He's been watching Khabib game tapes and following him. So he lost the mental warfare, so he doesn't really need to get that fight at this time. And I say one of those two fights, they run those, that'll be good. And then maybe have the winner of Jimmy and Rafael Asanko can either fight Garbrandt, or they can just have the winner of that fight Dillashaw next. I mean, I don't really think either one of those is too far-fetched, in the grand scheme of things. So, I mean, Lineker is, having surgery on his tooth or something, so I don't see him floating back into the picture. Marlon can't make weight for a while. He's got to sit. I see those are the two fights, man. That's what I think. Did you want to get into the? Let's break down. We had seeing that 2018's almost here, so want to get into maybe both run a fight. What do you have for fight of the year? and Fighter of the Year?
My fight of the year, I had man, this was a tough one, man. It was between Gaethje and Alvarez, and Gaethje and Michael Johnson.
Only.
Wow, I was those were the two fights that were in my head too. That was my two. I was gonna put up there.
But oh man, I'm gonna go with the Gaethje versus versus Alvarez, because that's kind of like, no, I'm going to go with Gaethje versus Johnson, because the only reason I'm picking that fight is because, you know, I can't stand when UFC bring in a new guy into the organization and they just blow him up to no end. And when they brought Gaethje in, I was like, I wonder if they're going to give him a cupcake to start his UFC career off with. Because remember when CM Punk came in, CM Punk was supposed to be fighting Mickey Gall, and Mickey Gall was supposed to be like, kind of like a cupcake fight, but nobody did their homework on Mickey Gall, knowing that he was a submission artist. So, but I'm going with Michael Johnson and Gaethje because I love Michael Johnson, man. Michael Johnson has fought some of the top guys in this game. And he came out and he said he was going to knock Gaethje out. And he talked a tough game, and I was like, okay, all right, I'm with it. And he almost got Gaethje out in the first round. Gaethje just came back, and he just kept coming forward. And then you could just see my man Michael Johnson. He was like, man, what I got to do? And in the process of saying what he got to do, he ended up gassing out. And Gaethje ended up putting it on him. And next thing you know, Michael Johnson was out on his feet. But Michael Johnson gave him everything he wanted in that 1.5 rounds. And then Gaethje ended up slowly but surely coming back, showing that maybe the height wasn't all wrong, and that maybe he deserved some of that height. But I'm going with Michael Johnson carrying that fight because he brought the action. Because normally when you fight Michael Johnson, when you see Michael Johnson fight, he's more of a counterpuncher. He normally follows instead of leads. But in this fight, he came out leading. He was leading the dance, and he was determined to get Gaethje out of there. And good job on the ref for not, you know, giving Gaethje a chance to defend himself, giving him a chance to come out for the second round. Because, you know, some UFC refs, you know, just for the safety of the fighter, they might have stopped that fight. And I think the fans would have definitely been upset if the ref would have stopped that fight. So my fight of the year is Michael Johnson versus Gaethje.
I like that one. That almost made me want to bring up another topic of seeing that Michael Johnson is announced that he's moving down to 145 fight. I was going to ask you who you'd want to see him fight next or who you'd want to see him fight to debut in featherweight, but that'll bring up a whole other thing. Let me get into this first. So off the top of my head, I have three fights for fight of the year, and all three of these fights feature one of the two guys that we just saw at UFC 218 put on what might have been everybody's fight of the year. So my three are, you have in the timeline in which they happened that I remember. So you have Gaethje and Michael Johnson. That's my first one. That one was crazy. When that one happened, I said it was fight of the year. I was like, no matter what, my man, I was rooting for Michael Johnson. All my friends were like, oh, man, like he's tired. You know, he's going out. He's fading out. And I was like, all right. But, you know, this fight here, like, you know, back and forth on both sides was a great fight. And people will remember this fight. And it's still a fight of the year candidate. after that. I think it was after that they had my man Eddie Alvarez fought Dustin Poirier. You know, after he lost to Conor McGregor, he came back. They offered him a couple fights, and he turned down a couple fights. And I think they actually offered him a fight with Tony Ferguson at one point. I think that either that or they offered him Nate Diaz. I think he turned down one of those two fights, and he ended up fighting Poirier. That fight was a great fight. That was a slugfest war. You know, the only thing that I didn't like about it was the fact that it ended with a kind of a cheap shot, you know, knee. I think it was an illegal knee from Alvarez. He had that illegal knee to Poirier's head, and it dropped him. And I think the dude was a mess. I don't think they ended up ending the fight. I think it ended in no contest. And that was probably the lamest part about that fight. So I don't know if I could give that fight of the year, but I had to put it in there because it definitely was a candidate. That was one of my favorites to watch up until the stoppage at the end. Then you had Gaethje and my man Eddie Alvarez again at UFC 218. So I'd probably, for fight of the year, I'm going to say it's definitely close between Michael Johnson and Gaethje, and then Gaethje and Alvarez. But I'm going to edge Gaethje and Alvarez for fight of the year because that thing was amazing. Like, you watch that thing back. If you want somebody to get into the UFC and they've never watched an MMA fight in their life and they're completely uninterested, you have them watch that fight, they will be a fan. And they will be calling you, asking you, when's the next card, and you guys got to watch UFC. That's one of the fights that makes people a fan. Back and forth, it was constant. Both guys kept coming forward. You know, Gaethje being like a prospect, you know, he won his first fight in UFC. People were expecting a lot of him. I think he was actually the favorite to win that fight. People gassing him up because he's, you know, a champion and wherever he came from. You know, I had faith in my man Eddie Alvarez. We actually predicted that one before it happened. I told you Eddie was going to win that one, Lee. I told you my man Eddie was going to come through and he was going to impress everybody. And he did. And he finished Gaethje. You know, there was no more. With Gaethje, when he hit him with that knee at the end, luckily it wasn't an illegal knee that time. That was clean. That was clean knee. And put Gaethje out. That's my fight of the year. I'm going to put down my fighter of the year right now. Unless, Lee, you want to jump into your fight of the year, then I'll get mine. How you want to go about that?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You can give me yours.
All right. I'm going to go into my fighter of the year. I'm not gonna say T-Wood. You probably expect I was going to say T-Wood, but I'm not going to. No, he's still my top guy, but he's not fighter of the year, man. Really looking at it, I'm going to take a quick look at the pound-for-pound rankings. I just want to look at this because, you know, the one thing about the pound-for-pound rankings is it does create a good, you know, dialogue for the fans, the debate. And Lee, you mentioned that in one of our last couple episodes that's, you know, one good thing the UFC does with the pound-for-pound, like, for the fans. And it is for the fans, even though sometimes it's kind of hard to figure out where they come up with their pound-for-pound rankings. But I want to look at that just to give me a basis. You know, because they do give a good basis. You know, you get a lot of the champions on there, and you got to figure one of the fighters of the year would be a champion. You know, so, you know, I definitely think Rafael Dos Anjos is in the running for fighter of the year. I mean, if you think about it, I'm pretty sure since he moved up to 170, all three of his fights were in 2017, and he won all three fights. As far as I'm concerned, they were all this year, and he's 3-0 at welterweight. He moved up from 155. I mean, that's not many people can make a move like that and be able to move like that, you know, in such a deep division like welterweight, at least from what I believe that it is. So Rafael Dos Anjos is definitely up there. He's not a champion right now, but he definitely deserves recognition. He's been on a mean streak lately. Max Holloway, definitely, you know, one of my candidates too. Max Holloway, you know, he's been on a streak for a long time. Not, you know, most of that wasn't this year. He only had you know, the Pettis fight was late 2016. Then he had, you know, he fought Aldo for the belt. He beat Aldo. He defended against Aldo. He beat Aldo again. I mean, that's another one. Aldo has made to seem has been made out to seem like he's not as great as he really is. You know, in his last three or four fights, he lost his last three or four fights. You know, the only win being to Frankie Edgar. And really, even in that fight, I didn't think that he looked great. So, with four, you know, all right, you know, to bad performances, I mean, it's made Aldo look not as great as he really is. But he is, you know, one of the best martial artists of all time, you know, across any organization, definitely in the UFC. And Max, you know, he outclassed him twice. And, you know, he put his cardio to the test. He brought him into the championship rounds. We saw that in the second fight. I thought that first fight ended in the third round, too. And, you know, he definitely deserves recognition for that. I mean, Holloway, he's going to go, you know, he's on a road to having a successful 2018. So he's definitely one of my candidates, too. Another one that I definitely think is up there is Robert Whittaker. If you look at the fights that he's had this year, it's crazy. Because he, many people don't think about this, but he beat Brunson. Who's Brunson's better fight right now? Brunson.
Jacare and Yoel Romero.
Right, right. So he beat Jacare, Souza, and then he beat Yoel Romero. So he beat them guys back to back this year. That's crazy. Those are two monsters right there. I mean,
man,
I don't
who
know,
you got, man? Who your fighter of the year, man? Come on, dog. Come on, make a decision. Who you got?
I'm just throwing out names. I haven't decided. I'm throwing out some names. You want to throw out some names? You could do your fight of the year.
Oh, my fight of the year is Robert Whittaker, man. It's hands down Bobby Knuckles, man. Bobby Knuckles had a year that most fighters probably couldn't even survive. I mean, He beat Derek Brunson, I want to say, in 2016. And then he came back and he beat Jacare. And then he fought Yoel Romero for the interim belt, and he destroyed him. And he not only has he been beating these guys, he has made these guys look bad in beating them. So my fight of the year is Bobby Knuckles, man. And I so wanted to see him fight Joe St. Pierre. I wanted to see him fight St. Pierre so bad because I wanted to see how St. Pierre was going to handle them hands. Because when Whittaker put his hands on you, you are going to feel it. And the last time we seen somebody put hands on GSP with Johnny Hendricks, and Johnny Hendricks ran him up out of the UFC. So I think Bobby Knuckles would have ran him right back to retirement. But, yeah, man, I'm going with Bobby Knuckles, man. The man had a successful year, man. He fought three of the top five guys in the weight class. You really don't see nobody calling him out saying, yo, come see me, because they already know. They're going to sit back and see what happens with him and oh, man, who he supposed to fight? Is he supposed to be fighting Luke Rockhold?
Who? Whittaker?
Who's Whittaker fighting? Yeah, who is he supposed to be fighting?
He's fighting, he's fighting Rockhold in Australia.
All right,
he's fighting,
cool.
He's fighting.
So, I got to see how he looks against Rockhold. But Rockhold against David Branch did put his hands on Rockhold a little bit. So I don't think Rockhold wants those issues with Whittaker, because Whittaker will separate his head from his shoulders in that fight if he wants to sit there and trade and bang with Whittaker. So my fight of the year is Bobby Knuckles.
Yeah, I could agree with that one. I wanted to see you make a case, and then too long with mine, so I wanted to hear you break it down. I could agree with that. He's a force, man. And GSP, he had GSP running scared, throwing that belt, you know, right off, tossing the belt in the air, man. Same with Bisping, too. after he beat Yoel Romero, you seen Bisping go in the octagon, that he actually threw the belt on the ground so Whitaker could pick it up. He said to him, he was like, "Here, here's the belt. You fight me for it." He said that, and they got that. They had that. It was after the fight. Whitaker was just, like, laughing, you know, looking at him. You know, he's like, "Damn, bro, you just gave me the belt? You just giving up that easy?" So it's crazy. The man's a force. I mean, people don't really put as much respect on his name as they really should be right now. Yeah, I can agree with that, Robert Whitaker. He should also be higher on pound for pound overall, too. Yeah, they disrespect him by having him on number 12 pound for pound, bro. That's what I think.
That's because he's
I don't know how.
Though, man. He ain't really been fighting, though.
Yeah, but if you look at the fighters that are on here, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, Ferguson almost got stopped by Kevin Lee in the first round. He fought one time. But, you know, he did beat Habib two times, though, so he gets credit for that.
So who your fighter of the year, bro? You stalled him again.
No. Huh?
You stalled him again. Who your fighter of the year, bro?
I told you. I agree. I told you. I wanted to hear you make your case. I agree. Bobby Whitaker is the fighter of the year, man. I had it between him and Max Holloway. That's where I had.
Okay.
But Holloway.
And that's what I had, too. I had Max Holloway and I had Robert Whitaker 1, and I had Max Holloway 2. And I had, of course, my man DJ at number 3.
Oh, yeah. Oh, actually, DJ, he defended his belt twice this year, no?
Yep.
I know he at least fought times.
Yeah,
he had the fight.
Right? Yep.
And I really liked the idea, too, of that 130-pound division. I really liked that idea. I hadn't even really thought about that. I mean, when you said about the catchweight, having him and Dillashaw fight at 130, it hit me, and I was like, wow, like that's actually a really great idea. And then when you said, oh, they should just do a whole division, imagine the fights that would come out of that, I was like, man, that really would be kind of crazy. It'd really be getting crazy if they did that, like mixing up all these guys. I mean, you know how deep that would make it? People would – I mean, DJ would be – I mean, I still think his size plays a factor in why, you know, he's not a big draw for the UFC. But if he was able to mix with bantamweight and then get some of these super fights rolling, I mean, especially starting off with him and Dillashaw, that starts off the mix and launches the 130 division, I think that would be crazy.
I'm telling you, man, that you just melt those two divisions in together, and man, you have so many good DJ versus Jimmy Rivera, DJ and Cody. You got John Dodson and Sergio Pettis, and you got Cejudo versus Dominique Cruz, and man, you got so many guys that's around about the same size. That if you just put those two divisions together, even if you made it like 132 instead of 130, you know, it's still, I would rather for it be 130 because, you know, it's 5 pounds up for 125, 5 pounds down for 135. So, but that division would be stacked. It would be so stacked. And the fights you could make out of that would be so crazy. But,
I mean, yeah.
The one thing that I want to see in 2018 is I want to see the welterweight division clear itself up. I know me and you've been talking about. I know you're a fan of the welterweight division, but I know I want to see a card where the top three fights on the card are all welterweights. Is you got Woodley versus RDA, then you have Stephen Thompson versus. Stephen Thompson versus Darren Till. That's the fight I want to see.
Till.
And I want to see, I want to see Mike Perry versus Kobe Covington. And then I want to see Usman versus Robbie Lawler.
Okay.
And that would definitely clear up the welterweight division. Because then you have all the top guys fighting each other. So the winner of the not Mike Perry. Yeah. The Darren Till, because I don't want to see. I'd rather see Mike Perry versus Usman, and I'd rather see Colby Covington versus Robbie Lawler. I guess you will have to go. But I forgot about the guy that just beat Mike Perry, Pinizebo.
Oh, Ponzebo.
Ponzebo. I forgot about him. So, actually, you know what? I will move Lawler further down. I will take Ponzebo versus Covington, Usman versus Perry, and Stephen Till versus Wonderboy Thompson, with the headliner being RDA versus Woodley. That'll be the card I want to see in 2018. All of them on the same card.
Oh, do we ever break down the dream cards a lot? Did we do that one of the last times?
Yeah, we already did that one.
Oh yeah, I gave you.
Yeah, we did that.
Cards. Oh, so yep. What if I broke down a different weight class? I'll just go off the top right now.
Okay.
Okay, so I was thinking about looking into the straw weights, but that pitch is kind of confusing because you have the Tisha Torres, and they got that title fight. I mean, Calvillo's already fighting his coming card, so that one's a bit harder to break down. Claudia's out right now. I was going to break that down, but we'll leave that aside. Light heavyweight. Yeah, there's a couple. All right. So let me try and do a heavyweight. I'm going to try and break down a heavyweight card because they've been trying to push the heavyweights lately, but we need a whole card of this. We need to see a whole thing here. So if I want to do a heavyweight card, we're already seeing Stipe and Ngannou, so I can't count that, right? Let's say...
Well, you're going to see that in the next couple months.
Yeah. I'm really excited for that one, bro. I'm really excited for that one. Okay. I gotta pick out one. So I'm ready. All right. How about a featherweight card? That's what I'm going to do right now. We're going to break down a featherweight card. Okay. So if I would do that, I would say, let's see Holloway and Frankie. We got to have that be the main event. Then you have Brian Ortega. We're going to have Brian Ortega. He just beat Cub, so we're going to have him fight. Let's see. He could fight either Ricardo Lamas or Josh Emmett. But let's give Ortega. Yeah, let's give him Josh Emmett, actually. Let's do that. I think that's a little bit better. Then maybe give – you could probably throw out Aldo. Nah, you know what? Do Aldo and Emmett, and then do Ortega and Ricardo Lamas. Let's do that instead. I still got faith in Lamas. He dropped three numbers, but I don't care. We're going to put him on there. So that's three right there. Then let's have – there's a couple more. So could maybe get Yair back in there. Forget that. Michael Johnson, let's have him fight. I had a fight for Michael Johnson earlier. I'm trying to think about it. If I really wanted to do something, I'd go off the top. I'd say Chad Mendes comes back and have Michael Johnson fight Chad Mendes. That would really be one I'd want to see. He's not even active right now, but I'd really want to see that on there. So throw that on there. And then the fifth one, I'd say let's get Jeremy Stephens and have Jeremy Stephens fight. He's beating a lot of these guys. This is tough right now. Jeremy Stephens, let's have him either fight Korean Zombie or Yair Rodriguez. I say either one of those I like. Or I wouldn't mind seeing Jeremy Stephens fight Aldo too. Any one of those three for Jeremy Stephens, I wouldn't mind. Jeremy Stephens and Aldo, just put that one down. So that's my card right there. You have Holloway and Frankie, Ortega and Lamas, Josh Emmett and who I say? I think I might have said Ortega and Lamas. And you had Zombie and I had Michael Johnson and Chad Mendes, and then you have Jeremy Stephens and Aldo. That's my card right there. I think that would be fire. All featherweights. that would really break up a lot too.
Yeah, because the featherweight division is kind of stacked, man, because especially with Aldo not being at the top no more and with Max Holloway being a young guy, and especially with Cub losing. With Cub and Aldo losing, that's two guys in the top five that lost. Well, actually, it's three guys in the top five that lost because Llamas is ranked number five. So you got Mendez, you got Yair, who Frankie destroyed. You got the Korean. You said the Korean Zombie, right?
Yeah, Chan Sung.
Chan Sung Jung. Yeah, that Brian Ortega. So yeah, man, they could do some things with the featherweight division because because Michael Johnson going down there, right?
Yeah, Michael Johnson's about to fight Darren Elkins in January. I forgot about that. Fight night, St. Louis, I think.
Okay. But, yeah, man, so I want to see the welterweight card, and you want to see a featherweight card in 2018. And I think that will be good for the divisions because, you know, everybody that fights on those cards, they're going to try. They're not going to try. They're going to bring their A game because you can guarantee at the end of each fight, the winner is going to call out the champ. So it brings that much more excitement to us, the fan, and also to the fighter. It rejuvenates the fighter. It gives them something to look forward to down the road. So, you know, man, so hopefully we can see that. You can see your all-featherweight card that my man Keys put together. Or we could see my all-welterweight card, you know. You know, the UFC, we never know what's going to happen from card to card. But I'm hoping for my man Key's sake that they put Jimmy Rivera on the UFC 220 card because I know they still have to fill that card up. And if they could get somebody to fight him at 220, that would probably make my man Key's day.
Oh,
I know
yeah,
he wants that
yeah,
card to be stacked.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can get Jimmy on the 220 card.
I didn't even think about that. I was looking ahead of time. I was saying 221.
Yeah,
just assuming they couldn't get anybody in.
Yeah, I'm quite sure they might have to get him to fight like a top 15 guy instead of a top 10 guy just to get him on the card. But at the same time is get the man an opponent. You know what I'm saying? Because he done missed his fight with Dominique Cruz, and then he missed the fight with Lineker. So get the man on 220 in Boston, find somebody to fight him, and then let's make it happen. And then have a fallback plan just in case. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Let's go ahead and make that happen for my man Keys. Let's get Jimmy Rivera on the UFC Boston card. But in closing, man, you know, me and my man Keys, man, you know, this is our we went into our podcast, I want to say, starting in August. I know our first couple shows, they were kind of rough because, you know, we had to figure each other out, figure out our timing, you know, come up with a blueprint for our show as far as what we're going to talk about, how we're going to talk about it. And, you know, instead of just going off the top of the head. And it's been fun, man. You know, 2017 has been a good year for me and my man Keys. You know, we launched a podcast. And we're looking to do bigger things probably next year. Maybe keeping our podcast and putting it out on YouTube, creating us a YouTube channel so, you know, we can reach more people. But I want to say to my man Keys, man, wish you a happy and a prosperous 2018. And we're going to do big and better things next year, bro. So that's my close off for 2017. I'm going to hand it off to my man Keys. What up with you, bro?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I forgot to give him the Christmas blessing in the beginning. So I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas, you know, and happy holidays, no matter what you celebrate, and Happy New Year, too. And going into that, you know, the next show we do will be in 2018. So we'll see you guys next year in that sense. And I'm looking forward to the things that we'll be able to do, the ways we can improve our show, and, you know, moving on to bigger and better things in general, you know, for everybody to be. So everybody improving yourself and look for something you can change to better yourself, because, you know, a New Year's resolution isn't just about breaking, you know, a bad habit. It's just about, you know, finding a way you can improve. And I hope everybody's able to do that. And I wish everybody the best of luck.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Lee and Keys, UFC 219 predictions, our fight of the year for 2017, our fight of the year for 2017, and we also hit you with what we want to see in 2018. The UFC is only going to get bigger and better, and as long as the UFC is around, you can guarantee we'll have our opinions on it, whether you like it or you don't. Or you disagree, or you do. Me and Keys will always be here to give you the real. And probably in 2018, we'll probably do our music wrap-up. Yeah, we'll do our music wrap-up for 2017, our first show in 2018. So me and Keys will come up with some topics about who was on the rapper of the year, what was the song of the year, you know, stuff like that. We'll come up with some things to hit you guys with for the music side for 2017. And me and my man Keys, man, we're gonna do big things. So thanks to everybody for listening. Have a good and a safe new year. Signing off, Lee and Keys.